Everybody? I'm going to stand here if it's okay with you. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thy Spirit is with us today, as it is every day. So we feel Your presence here in the songs that we sang, in the testimony of Shirley, George Beverly Shea, and the song. We heard the Holy Spirit speak to us in the reading of Your Word. Father, You are real, and we thank You that You are real. We pray, Lord, that You would continue to bless us. Bless the words that I say. Because the only way that they can have meaning is because You are behind us, and it's because You are real. Thank You, Father, that You have looked down upon us here and have shown Your love to us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you may know that I have some voice students. I've been teaching voice for a couple of years now. It's kind of a change of pace. I was an opera singer since I was 20 years old, and singing professionally, and then I went into a different area. I worked as an IT worker for a number of years, and then I decided to go to seminary, and I wanted to do something during that time to pick up back on music again. And so I decided with Lee Chan to work together towards developing a studio of people to teach voice to. And it's been a real blessing. I never taught voice before that. I had given some tips to people, you know, on how to sing, but I had never taught them in an organized way. Anyway, this one day, this one young kid came in. He was from high school, over at J.P. Stevens. And I have to admit to you, he didn't look like he could sing. He looked, every time he came to my house, he looked like he would be, you know, much happier going anywhere else. You know? And it looked kind of, you know, difficult and strenuous for him. And my impression of him was pretty much the same, you know? If a person doesn't want to be there, you don't really feel like being with them either. I hate to admit it, but, you know, I knew he came to me to learn how to sing, and so I decided one day I would try a different angle to the whole thing, and I said, what do you want to sing about? What would you like to sing about if you had a choice? And he really surprised me. He was this kid who looked, you know, unhappy and kind of, you know, difficult and uninterested, and he said, a dream. I'd like to sing about my dream. And I thought, wow, that's very interesting. Here's a kid who doesn't look like he has any sense for dreams at all. In fact, he looked very uninterested in being alive, you know, much less having a dream. But you never know what a person is thinking. That's a big lesson that I got out of that. You never know what a person is thinking, and it doesn't matter how they look or what they feel when they're with you in a lesson or anywhere else in life. People have things going on in their minds that many of us have. They just have a different way of showing it. And so I got a song for him to sing about a dream. Well, I think that the sermon title today came to me sort of from that angle. But I want to read to you a song that you may know. It's from a musical called South Pacific. Does anybody know this? Ever hear of South Pacific? Ever see that? Well, it had a revival on Broadway, but it was written by a guy named Oscar Hammerstein, and the words to this go like this. Some enchanted evening, you may see a stranger. You may see a stranger across a crowded room, and somehow you know even then that somewhere you'll see her again and again. Some enchanted evening, someone may be laughing. You may hear her laughing across a crowded room, and night after night, as strange as it seems, the sound of her laughter will sing in your dreams. Who can explain it? Who can tell you why? Fools give you reasons, wise men never try. Some enchanted evening, when you find your true love, when you feel her call you across a crowded room, then fly to her side and make her your own, or all through your life, you may dream all alone. Once you have found her, never let her go. Once you have found her, never let her go. I'm going to come back to this song in a little while, but I want to talk to you about what God has put in my heart for today. The other, about 2 weeks ago, I guess, we had an outreach night, and I kind of have been thinking about that night and also what God had been saying to us through the skit and all the different things that were going on. There were some people there that responded by raising their hand that God had been speaking to them that night. And I think that it's important that we follow up a little bit on what he was saying to us. But one of the biggest things that I really felt God saying to me did have to do with a dream, but it came from this scripture and this song. And God speaks to us in different ways. He speaks to us through a song by Oscar Hammerstein. He speaks to us through everyday things that we hear. There's a lot of musicals around. There's a lot of musicals around that are very popular. Raise your hand if you ever went to a musical. Did you ever go to a Broadway show? Something like that or anything like that? Maybe you saw one in your school. When I went to school, they were doing these productions of musicals that were probably as good as some of the ones I've seen on Broadway. I mean, it's a part of our American culture. A lot of people make fun of our culture and say, well, there is no culture. There's a lot of culture in America, and the musical is one of the greatest ones that we have, that we can claim. People sing West Side Story over in Germany like it's an opera. They take it very seriously. And a lot of times when you go to musicals, you have this impression of them that they're these kind of, you know, happy, kind of a, you know, good story, happy ending kind of a thing. And people love to go to them to kind of escape. You know, they go to the hear some good music, they go to hear good acting. But there's a lot of people who are in those musicals that come from all over the country, all over the world actually, and they wind up in New York because it was their dream to be there. And they're living out their dream there. You know, when we went to school at Manhattan School of Music, Lee Chang came all the way up from Taiwan to go to school there. There were other people from this country, from all over the country, that wanted to study music because they had a dream that they wanted to be somebody in the music field at some point. Right? So everybody was coming there and they were trying to live out those dreams. If you go to a musical on Broadway, you will see people from Idaho or from Ohio or from Texas or all these different states that we don't really get to visit or see people from. But they come there and then you'll see this person grew up in Idaho, had a dream to be on the stage, started to sing in their high school musicals, got into some kind of repertory theater during the summers, and now they auditioned for this part, and boom, they got onto Broadway. Pretty fantastic stories. And these are normally, when you take a look at their lives, and the people that know them where they grew up, they'll say, oh yeah, that's Sally Jones. I knew her in high school. You know, she didn't look like she was the type to do it. She didn't say it didn't look like she was really going to amount to something like that. And look at her, she's up there on stage singing in the Phantom. You know? And that's what life is all about. You go to these musicals and you're thinking you're going to escape life. It's right there in front of you in these people that are singing it. It's not just a person who's playing a part there, it's someone's daughter. It's someone's sister or brother. It's someone's friend who is standing there and is living out their dream in that way, and they have this excitement about them that you're pulling for them, you know. And even someone who may not be that good and you don't like, it still had the guts to live out their dream up on that stage, to get up in front of a New York audience. And in the words of Frank Sinatra, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere, right? The words of that song that he used to sing. These are real people. And they're living out a dream that they had to do something there. And they're doing something that God gives each one of us the chance to do. We all have something that we want to become. And God wants us to have a dream, I believe. I believe that He has given us these talents and the imagination that we have and all the way to think. Everybody who's sitting here today has something unique to offer because God has given them that chance. Your life has been given to you by Him. He created us. And you have something. But along the way, a lot of times things get complicated. Things get complicated. You start to feel like, okay, well, why is it so hard to achieve a dream? Because life isn't that easy. If you think it's easy to be standing up on a stage and you think that those people were just given the chance to sing in Broadway because it's so easy, then you don't understand anything about life or about singing. I can tell you that. Being an actor or an actress is one of the hardest things to be able to do. Getting in a position there on that stage is one of the hardest things that you could ever possibly achieve. But we take it for granted because we feel like, oh, those people are special and they have a nice voice, they've been blessed. It just isn't true. Those people certainly had some help along the way, but they have done that because they are working hard to achieve their dream in that way. They give up a lot of things in their lives. They sacrifice a lot because they want something so deeply. So when we see those kind of things in life, you have to remember that life is not just easy for those kind of people. There's other things that are important that we learn along the way. I believe that what God is trying to say to us is that He really wants us to have a dream. He wants us to be able to grasp onto those things. But what He's trying to tell us today is that there's a step that we have to take before we do any of those other things that is most important. And that verse that we read today from the Scripture, I love doing this sermon because I don't have to look at my Bible to look at the Scripture. I know it. I've been saying it over and over all my life, but there's more truth to it today than there ever was. The most important thing that people need to do, and what we all need to do sitting here today, is to realize that God loved the world so much that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not die but have eternal life. And that's all you need to know. But that in itself is a big deal too. Many times people feel that they will get to that part of their life at some point. But for right now, I have something in front of me. I have a dream that I want to achieve. And maybe later on I'll come back to that and do that. And I'm here to tell you today that that's the greatest mistake that you could ever make. Because you have completely misunderstood what your life is about and what you're here for. And you've also misunderstood what God can do in your life and how He can bless you and help you on the road to achieving your dreams that no one else can do. But without God, without Him, without His forgiveness of the sin that we have in our lives, we are not going to be able to achieve anything that is of lasting value. I've met many people in my life who are artists and who are people that have achieved great things, but they have not achieved fulfillment the way the Bible is speaking about it because they don't know Jesus as their Savior. And that's why I really like the verse that we have today for our memory verse. Can we put that back up for a sec? I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. It's very important that we think about those words today and what it means for us. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. There is someone speaking to you today and saying those words to you who is very, very special as Jesus Christ. He wants you to have a full life. He wants you to have the things that you desire. He wants you to have the chance to sing on a stage or to be a doctor or to be a scientist or to be a fireman or anything else that you desire. But you can't do those things unless you have Him. You can't understand what life is about unless you have Him. I read this really great testimony by a woman who was a drug addict at one time. And she, but looking back over her life, she said that there was someone very special who was her grandmother. And it was really incredible what she said. She said, whenever my grandmother came into our house, life came into our house. Life came into our house. And this was a drug addict, a person who had been addicted to drugs and was trying to destroy her life. And the reason that she said that she had brought life into that house is because of her faith in Jesus Christ. And she talked to them about Jesus Christ and about how He affected their lives and changed them. And because of her, she knew in all of the desperate hours and the darkness that she was going through that there was life in this world, and it comes in the shape and the form of Jesus Christ and that cross that you see up there on that stage. Jesus Christ brings life, real life, into a house where there is no life. And I experienced the same thing in my life as well. God is for real. He wants us to have a dream. But he wants us to know his Son, Jesus Christ, to really start to begin our lives and to know what that's all about. He doesn't take away fun. He doesn't take away fun. He doesn't spoil our lives. He builds lives, and he puts them on a foundation that our theme is talking about also this year. You want to have a good life? You want to have a meaningful life? You want to know what life is all about? You want to grow in a way that is going to be pleasing to God? Then understand John 3:16. John 3:16 says it all. Let's go through it real fast. God. We're living in a world where people are not thinking about God. If they do think about God, I've been sending around some emails to some of the adults. The way that they think of God is, it's good to think about him because it could make you a better person. That's very popular today. God, believing in God and saying you believe in God can make you a better person. So they will send people to churches. Parents will send children to churches while they stay home, because they want their children to become good people. And the problem with that is that they have misunderstood the whole concept of salvation from sin. We do not become good people by believing in God. We become good people only through the salvation that comes from forgiveness of our sin, that is found through the blood that was shed for us on the cross of Jesus Christ. If you are willing to admit your sin and admit your need for God in that way, then that is the only way that you can become good. But it takes sacrifice and it takes giving him your entire life and being. You do not become good just simply by showing up in church. Okay? God so loved the world, a God who is real and we believe is real, sent his Son into the world to die for us. That's how much he loved us. And it was not only his Son, it was his beloved Son. It was a cost for God to do this. It was done at a cost. He loved us so much that he sent his beloved Son to die on the cross for us and for our sins. And then comes a really special part again, that whoever, anyone, who believes in him, will not die but have eternal life. And that's what that life and that grandmother was representing that came into that house every time she came into the house where these drug addicts were living and people with problems were living. Everything that we need is in that verse. We have God, we have Jesus, we have eternal life. Those are the things that make God special to us. And that is what is going to determine whether your life is special or not. There's so many people that are without God but need him in the world. And it's our responsibility to tell them the good news in a way that is going to help them to realize that we actually believe it. One of the biggest things that we have to do in terms of living in this world and bringing the gospel across, coming to the point where we are going to talk to people in a way that shows them that God is real in our lives. You have to admit your problems. You have to admit that you're not perfect, that you can relate to them. And that is the whole gospel message, that God sent his Son to the world to show the world that he means it. He means it. He took Jesus, this person Jesus, put him in the world so that we could relate to him and understand who God is and understand how much we need him. So that's the good news as well. You can be yourself. You don't have to pretend that you know everything in the Bible. I don't know anything in the Bible, to be honest with you. I find that out every day I go to school. I don't know anything. But I'm determined to learn more about it because I'm convinced that the more that I know in the Bible, the more doors are going to be open to me and the more people that are going to come into my life that I can relate to and show them, yeah, I can hear your story in this verse. I can see your story here in this person in the Bible that went through a lot of troubles, but see what happened to them. You see how Jesus transformed their life. He can do the same for you. So a lot of the pressure is off us, right? We don't have to be anybody different than we are. We just have to tell them about Jesus. I go to nursing homes recently. I started to go to some nursing homes around my area. There's one right around the corner from us. And I'm really happy because all my life I felt like I was basically doing things for myself. And I don't like to talk about about myself that much, but one thing I am pleased about myself is that I have gone to that place and started to get to know these people. Because I call them my neighbors. They really are my neighbors. They live in a nursing home, and they're all in wheelchairs. And some of them can't even talk. But they're my neighbors. And I can. There's one woman in particular that got my attention the other day. I'm at the point right now where I don't really look at them that much. I just kind of look down, or I'm looking at my music or something like that. But a funny thing happened when I was singing a song. It happened to be a song, The Balm of Gilead. You know that hymn? That hymn? And I looked up, and this lady was singing the words with me.
Through his word today, and he's saying,
I have patience, but I am your God. And one day you're going to stand before me and you're going to have to account for your life. Don't wait until it's too late. When you hear the truth, when you hear God speaking to your heart, fly to his side and make him your own. Receive Jesus into your heart. Put an end to the things that you have been holding back, the rebellion that has kept you from going on with your life. Accept him into your heart. And when you do, then you will see that God is a friend and someone who wants you to make your dreams come true. God, could you put that prayer up? If you feel God is speaking to you today, there's a prayer that a friend of mine recommended to me. And I believe that this says it all. I would like you to read this. Well, everybody read it. But if you feel God speaking to your heart today and you need him, then please read this prayer and pray to God and he will hear you. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. I ask you into my life and my heart to be my Lord and Savior. I want to serve you always.